In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The text for our sermon this morning is the gospel lesson appointed for this Sunday. It's the account of Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem, recorded by St. Matthew in chapter 21. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is God's Word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, your fellow redeemed. Do you know the expression, old chestnut? An old chestnut is a story or a saying or a cliche that someone keeps using over and over again. I suspect that those of you who have been around here for a while could identify an old chestnut or two that I bring out from time to time. Another aspect of that expression, old chestnut, is that because of its repeated use, it begins to lose its meaning or its power or its effect on us. Sadly, that attitude, that definition can be placed on the Word of God, on the stories of the Bible. "Oh, I've heard those Bible stories since I was a kid. I don't have to keep hearing them. I don't have to keep studying those different Bible stories. I know those things." For that person who thinks that way, then those important Bible stories have become that old chestnut. One of those passages or accounts that can fall under that category rather easily is the account of Palm Sunday, the account of Jesus Christ entering Jerusalem to suffer and die on the cross. Three of the evangelists, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all record this incident, each from a little bit different viewpoint. It's my hope that, like all the Word of God, this account, every time that you hear it, every time that you go back to it, that it isn't for you an old chestnut, but rather you're able to see something new, to learn something that you didn't know before about this particular account of Scripture. Palm Sunday is one of those festival accounts that we don't ever want to get tired of hearing repeatedly in our lives as Christians. And that's because you and I know the real person who is riding humbly into Jerusalem. We know the real reason that he is riding into Jerusalem. He is Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, who is also a true man. We know that he is coming into Jerusalem the last time to offer up himself into death on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus is riding into Jerusalem to meet his cross and to bring us our crown of salvation. And so this morning we just said in song, O Savior meek, pursue your road. Seeing first of all that Jesus rides on to meet his cross. And Jesus rides on so we will receive our crown of life. The Lord was walking on this Sunday, or rather on this Sunday, the Lord had been walking from Jericho toward Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, a distance of about 15 miles. And when they got just about 3 or 4 miles east of the city on the Mount of Olives, they would come to the little twin villages of Bethphage and Bethany. And Jesus sent two of his disciples ahead to acquire for him a donkey and her colt on which he would ride into the city. Our Lord would ride on in majesty, as we just sang, but it was not in majesty of appearance, but rather in majesty of purpose. Jesus didn't ride into Jerusalem as the king that he really is visibly. He didn't come with an armed band following him. He didn't ride into Jerusalem seated atop a great war stallion. But rather, Jesus entered the city on a plodding beast of burden, the kind of beast that only servants rode, that only the poor rode. Jesus did not come to defeat his enemies with an armed band, but he came to defeat his enemies with the sacrifice of himself. The crowds were really in two groups. There was a crowd who had gathered and was following Jesus as he approached from Jericho, where he had healed two blind men and had said to Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house. And then there was a crowd of people that had already been in the city for Passover, and they went out and crossed the Kidron Valley and met Jesus near the Mount of Olives. And when these two crowds came together, they rolled out the red carpet for Jesus in the form of those green palm branches, not unlike those palm branches that our children carried in this morning. Palm branches spread in a person's path said, we welcome you. It said, we adore you. And in connection with the great Hallel or Alleluia from Psalm 118 that the people sang to Jesus as they laid those palm branches down, combined with those words, those palm branches meant that we acknowledge you to be the Lord. During those weeks and months and years prior to this, the people in those crowds, men, women, and children, had heard Jesus preach with authority. They had seen Jesus do his miracles. And now, moved by the Spirit, many of them who really believed in him as the promised Messiah sang those words and fulfilled that prophecy from Zechariah. The Son of Man, or rather the Son of God, became also the Son of Man, and fulfilled Zechariah's prophecy. In acknowledging him, some with just outward enthusiasm, some perhaps getting caught up in the spirit of the day, but others in true and genuine faith that Jesus' preaching had worked, welcomed him as that Son of David, as the one who came in the name of the Lord. And they cried out to him, Hosanna, which means save us. As a sign of respect and faith and admiration and faith, they sang that song of praise. Our purpose this morning is not to be detectives and try to figure out which of those people that were praising Jesus as the Messiah really believed that. It's not up to us to detect which of those people, if any, were the same people who a few days later joined in the spirit of the Jewish leaders and said, give us Barabbas and crucify Jesus. But rather, it is up to us this morning simply to look and to listen. To look at our Lord Jesus Christ fulfill the prophecy of Zechariah. We say to him, O Savior, meek, pursue your road. Ride on in the majesty of the purpose of our salvation to your cross. Here we have God's Son, divine, holy, who emptied himself of the full use of his divine majesty, which now belonged also to his human nature, so that he could go to the cross and offer up himself as God and man as the full atoning payment for our sins. Thus the singing of that great Alleluia of Psalm 118. The people thank God for keeping his word, and they thank Jesus for coming, and they thank Jesus for being that one who saves them, who comes in the name of the Lord. St. Matthew's account shows clearly that Jesus' reception was of a religious nature and not a political one. When the people cried out, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And St. Luke adds these words of the crowds in his account. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Peace, glory in the highest. Does that remind us of another festival? I think it reminds us of Christmas, doesn't it? It's not just the crowds that meet when Jesus rides in majesty to the cross, though in lowliness. It is all those festivals and all those accounts that we hear year after year after year through Advent, at Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and Epiphany, and Transfiguration, and then throughout Lent, and then thinking also ahead to Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter. On Palm Sunday, all of those festivals, before Jesus rode into Jerusalem, and after Jesus rode into Jerusalem, come together and meet on him as he rides lowly and in humility to go to the cross. O Savior meek, pursue your road, because that means my salvation. Jesus rode into Jerusalem not only to go to his cross, but also to win our crown. Jesus did not go to the cross for his own sake, He didn't go to the cross to pay for any sins that he had committed. He went to the cross bearing our sins, being responsible for our sins. And so it's true also that the exaltation that the Apostle Paul writes about was not something that he earned for himself, as if he had to somehow pay for his sins so that God could exalt him. His exaltation to the highest place and given that name, Jesus above every name, is the consequence of his doing that for us. His exaltation is so that we are exalted, so that we are given a place with him because of his holy name. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the people praised him as the Son of David. They praised him as the one who came in the name of the Lord. They praised him as the fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy. And Jesus, willingly and with every right, accepted that praise. In fact, one of the other gospel writers records Jesus' words there that even if his enemies could silence the people, the very rocks would cry out and would acknowledge him to be the Lord. Jesus conquered sin, death, and the devil's power to give us forgiveness, life, and his strength. God has in Christ reconciled the world to himself and has promised you and me the crown of righteousness that the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. The second lesson for this morning, Paul's words to the Philippians bear another hearing. Because in a nutshell, they describe the what's called the exhination, the offering, the bear Jesus as the sin bearer for us, and how he was able to do that and why he was able to do that because of who he had become. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature or form of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, literally having emptied himself of the full use of his divine majesty, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. We know who it is who rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. It is the Son of God who emptied himself of the full use of his divine majesty and taking on his human nature that now shared in that majesty. But he then humbled himself and placed himself in obedience to his Father. Not only in obedience under the law, but now also an obedience to death, even obedience to death on a cross, which was a sign of a curse being hung on that tree. Jesus came ready, willing, and able to die as both God and man, so that you and I would have that forgiveness of our sins and would have that exaltation that followed his humiliation, as God promised. Following his sacrifice, Jesus once again was exalted to the full use of his divine majesty that he always still had as God, but now also had been given to his human nature. So as God and man, he now is exalted over all things. But it was not time for that yet. First, he had to go to the cross. First, he had to win for us our crown of righteousness. And one day, when we are exalted not only in our spirits, but also in our bodies, we will receive that crown. Today, with our children, we gather at the side of the road and wave our palm branches and welcome Jesus and sing, "Hosanna, save us," to the Son of David. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." May that expression never become for us an old chestnut, but always be for us the new song of our salvation, of the marvelous things our Savior has done for us. Amen.